This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It is time to go down the rabbit hole.
Here they go, down the rabbit hole, down the rabbit hole, down the rabbit hole, down the rabbit hole, down the rabbit hole.
That's right, we're going down the rabbit hole into my weird pop culture mind about a topic that I know way too much about. And today, I think you guys will find this interesting. Well, I hope. That's the whole point of this damn thing. Anyway, we are going to talk about the fallout between Joan Rivers and Johnny Carson in the mid to late 80s. And this is obviously a point of much fascination to me. I love late night TV. I love morning television. And I remember this whole thing because I was a fan of both of these icons. Sadly, both are now gone. But for you youngins, what you have to realize is, you know, Johnny Carson was coming off of a few years earlier. And this is circa, the dateline's around 85, 86. And a few years earlier, Johnny Carson had won a huge fight with NBC, basically giving him everything he wanted. He was threatening to leave The Tonight Show. Now, again, in this streaming world we're living in, it's hard to wrap your head around how powerful this man was in television, but he was Mr. Television. I mean, if you thought of American television in the 60s, 70s, and the 80s, especially the prime in the 70s and 80s, Johnny Carson was television and could do basically anything he wanted within NBC. Well, a new studio exec came in and tried to poke Johnny foolishly, tried to get him to do this and get him to do that. So Johnny threatened to quit. Johnny went public and started teasing that he was going to quit The Tonight Show. Well, it was a long negotiation, and finally, Johnny got everything he wanted, including basically a four-day work week. He was off on Fridays. Thus the need and had ample vacation. Thus the need for guest hosts and basically permanent guest hosts. And in the early 80s, Joan Rivers was named the permanent guest host of The Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson, which is a huge deal, because again, you got to get in the time machine and realize how powerful that show was for comedians. The story goes from everyone from Jerry Seinfeld to Drew Carey to David Letterman, that your life would be one way on the day before you went on The Tonight Show, and then the day after you went on The Tonight Show, your life would be drastically changed. That's how career-making it would be. So Joan started doing it, and you would think that everything was great, that they had a wonderful relationship. Well, that wasn't necessarily the case, even when she was the guest host. Here's Joan talking about her relationship with Johnny.
My relationship with Johnny was, I adored him on air. He adored me on air. The lights would go down. We had no relationship. He was a very cold man. He wasn't a bad man. He was just a very cold man.
And you heard that a lot. You know, Joan, that Johnny was a little distant. But Joan really wasn't invited to, like, Tonight Show parties. She was very much on her own island. They would be very restrictive of what guests Joan could book, because they didn't really give her a lot of Johnny's team. Joan's people had to book the guests. And people, I don't know if people know that.
No, I didn't know
that's
that.
That's weird.
Oh, yeah. Huh. They were, I almost cussed. They were.
That's probably because of Johnny, right?
Well, it was the whole team. They were, they were buttholes. Yeah, Fred, Fred Cordova. They were, well, and they were jerks to Letterman, even though, you know, they loved Letterman. Letterman couldn't book certain guests if Johnny's team said so. And anyway, but yeah, so Joan was responsible for literally calling people herself and saying, hey, I'm substituting. Can you come, you know, be on the show? Well, Joan started to renegotiate. She wanted to renegotiate her contract. And that's when things started kind of falling apart in the mid 80s. And here's Joan talking about that.
Called to showing your emotions.
Probably. Yeah, probably true. I think I'm better at it now than I was. But I think that's true.
I don't want to turn to a pity party interview. But it was, you weren't welcomed into the NBC family. You were treated like an outsider. They, my numbers were amazing compared to his. And they didn't even invite me the first 2 years to the cast party or the Christmas party. Yeah, you felt very, I was always very hurt, very hurt. And then we were trying to get my contract renewed. And they were just, I guess they just figured, where's she going? And they didn't renew it. And that's when Fox came to me. Fox was starting the network, and they approached us, Ruben Murdoch and Barry Diller. And they said, when your contract's up, we will give you everything that you have now, plus 5-year guarantee and $15 million.
That deal was made because, again, let's go on the Wayback Machine. The Fox Broadcasting Company was just beginning. This was still, you know, NBC, ABC, and CBS were the only networks, and PBS were the only networks. Fox had just started, had no footprint, obviously didn't have a late night presence. And as you heard Joan say, and she's right, her ratings were really good. I mean, really good for NBC. There was no fall off when Johnny wasn't there. I mean, some nights there were, but she was consistently a ratings winner for them. Anyway,
how dare she ask for more?
Well, yeah, I mean, now you look at this through a different lens, a whole different lens.
You think he was jealous?
Yeah, and I think, well, look, I mean, bitter. You don't, not so much bitter, but I mean, you know, he was protecting his show, yeah. And you know, and his you know, and he had an ego. Yeah,
we've all had to do it. Yep.
And but no, I mean, now you would look at it differently. So Joan was approached by Rupert Murdoch, and was approached to do this show for Fox called The Late Show. There, you know, funny, Letterman wasn't the first one to have a show called The Late Show. It was actually Joan Rivers. But anyway, you're getting ready to hear Joan made one big mistake in this whole thing. And this clip is from the great documentary from PBS called The King of Late Night, Johnny Carson. You're going to hear from a media writer, and then you're going to hear from Peter LaSalle. Peter LaSalle was a longtime executive producer for The Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson, and then later David Letterman on CBS. And here is how everything kind of fell apart between Joan and Johnny. Let's take a listen to this. Here we go.
At that point, she'd already been talking with Fox and already had a deal for a show of her own. But what she didn't do was tell him long before. The night before she announced that she was starting a show on Fox.
This is Peter LaSalle.
At a press conference, Johnny got wind of that because she never went to Johnny and said, hey, I've got this wonderful opportunity and I hope I have your blessings, but I wanted you to know. She never did that. She never, ever mentioned it.
And of course, everybody double-crosses everybody in this business. And somehow it was leaked. And I called him, first phone call. And I said, Johnny, and he had obviously heard, and he hung up on me.
He was furious with her, and I think rightfully so.
And that was it. He never spoke to me again.
Johnny never did. And really, I mean, never, ever, ever, ever spoke to her again. She told the story. They were at a like a benefit or something. Hmm. And she went to approach him, and he literally walked to the other side of the room. He never spoke to her again. Mm. Now, even she admits in retrospect, you know, and there's no good way to handle these things. You know, business is business, and this is tricky. Hollywood is so, I mean, please, there's people find out they're fired from the trades and all the time, and it's always been that way. It's a rough business. However, even Joan admitted if she could go back, she probably should have told Johnny first.
Yeah.
And said, "Hey, this, you know, they've approached me. I have loyalty to you, but can I ask your permission to take this opportunity?"
Or just to tell him. I don't think she has to have permission. It's just to keep him in the know.
She was under contract, Lex. That's what I mean by permission. So she kind of, you know, at the time when Barry and Diller and Rupert Murdoch first approached her, she was still at the end of her contract with NBC.
Okay.
So just to say, hey, Johnny. And she didn't do that. And she went to Fox, and the ratings were great for a couple months, and then they tanked, and then The Late Show with Joan Rivers was canceled after less than a season. And that gave birth to the Arsenio Hall show. So there we go. There's a little deep dive into late night history right there. Now we can come out of the rabbit hole, see the sunshine, everybody.
What a brutal business, huh? Man.
Horrible.
It is.
It really is.
Yeah, sad, really.
Yeah.
That whole thing.